Worship you. Worship you, Father. We choose to worship you. Worthy are you. Worthy are you, Lord. Say, Father, we choose to worship you. To worship you. Say, Father, I choose to worship you. Worthy are you, Lord. One more time. Father, I choose, Father, I choose to worship you. Exalt you. It's a choice today. Yeah, it's a choice we are happy to make, to worship you even today and always. Be exalted, be magnified even in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Smile, welcome people to church, and those who are online, wherever, I welcome you at the same time. Good to be in church. Always good to be in church. Always good to gather together. Fellowship with God and with the brethren. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's amazing how God leads, you know, and it's one of the best things that happens to you as a believer. That the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you need to have some faith in that, that God is ordering your steps. You know, the choice of the word order. I think that's Psalm 37, if I'm right. Verse 23, thereabout, if I'm right. And the choice of the word ordered, means that God predetermines and God makes it happen. So when you are in line with God's will, you need to expect that God is leading you. Amen. And that also means that sometimes when, you know, you were going to catch a bus, you missed the bus or whatever, you need to just relax. I know that, well, I missed it, but I believe in my steps being ordered. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you need to have some confidence in the fact that God is the one working out things on your behalf. Amen. Good. So, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 10. Ephesians 6, we'll read from verse 10 to verse 18. And that's been my text for a while also. I think I must have spoken on along this line twice, thereabout. And this will be the third, maybe or hopefully the final. Hallelujah. God permitting. But you're welcome to the booster service, a booster midweek service, a teaching service, largely. Amen. But again, things happen. Hallelujah. Every time we gather like this and we share God's word, the Bible says that God was walking with them. Matthew 28:20. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. God walking with the word, confirming it with signs following. Hallelujah. My brain was just moving in between Matthew 28 and Mark 16, which one it was, you know, but that's temporary. Hallelujah. Okay, so are you there? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of a wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Father, we pray tonight that indeed you speak to each and every one of us, first as individuals and then collectively as a church. We pray that you will breathe upon your word, make it come alive in our hearts, say the things that you want to say to us, even beyond the words that have been spoken. You are able to quicken. You are able to quicken instructions tonight, even to us, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, also because as your word is coming forth, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost falls upon all that hear it, in the name of Jesus, wherever they may be. Thank you. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So really, this is a very important text in the Bible. If you've never read that, you need to read it. I'm speaking on different kinds of prayer. It's a very important text. Actually, what I really need here is verse 18. You know, which says praying with all kinds of prayer. Praying always with all prayer. I mean, another one says all types of prayer. Another one says all different kinds of prayer. And supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's the real key scripture. And the emphasis is on the fact that it's saying you should pray always with all prayer, or pray always with all kinds of prayer, thereby emphasizing to us that there are different kinds of prayer. But I read, and I think I've consistently read from verse 10, because of biblical principle of interpretation, which is to encourage us to look at things within the context and realize the context where a verse is coming out of. It doesn't mean that we cannot take verses out of a scripture and still rightly divide them. It just means that sometimes you may not get it right, amen, if you take that scripture out of context, but also you may not entirely grasp the full import of what it's trying to say to you, except you look at the context within which it's said. So just like I've said now, but my emphasis is actually verse 18, praying with all kinds of prayer. So my emphasis is that phrase, all kinds of prayer, which basically tells us that prayer is multidimensional, which means that prayer has different sides to it. Prayer is not just one thing, but For instance, if we sit with that, in that verse 18, there are many things we can bring out. We can bring out the fact that there are all kinds of prayer. So you need to know that there are different kinds of prayer. And sometimes even know what applies in the different kinds of prayer. Can I have an amen? Because the rules can be different. So if you're playing basketball like me and you play with football rules, you will hardly make a move, you know, before the referee has to blow his whistle. Because, for instance, in football, you do not touch the ball with your hands. In basketball, you don't touch it with your legs. So it's complete opposite. If you use the rules of one for the other, you will be completely frozen, make no progress, be caught fouling all of the time. You'll be out of line all of the time, and you will not get any results. Amen. So that's why the knowledge of the fact that there are different kinds of prayer matter. For instance, one of the things we'll see, because I won't go into too much detail tonight, I just feel led to run through the different kinds of prayer ultimately, so I cannot by any chance go through the details or all scripture. And I guess one of the things that happens is that over time, I'm sure again, if Jesus tarries, we'll find some way, sometime somebody who will revisit that, and God gets you to go a little deeper. Amen. Into some of those things. So it's just to skim that fact. I don't think I've spoken along the line of the fact that they are actually in this church, but they are actually different kinds of prayer specifically. You know, so the intention is to look at that. So if we look at verse 18, we'll see that there are different kinds of prayer. If we look at verse 18, we'll see that it encourages us to pray always, or to pray consistently, or to pray regularly, or to pray all of the time. So it says praying always with all kinds of prayer. So we need to be praying always. We need to pray a lot. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, when we were younger and when the university, I remember a friend of mine who was praying, and he said he was with in an uncle's house, and he was praying, you know, he spent a few hours in prayer, and when he was done, his uncle challenged him and said, you pray like this all the time. You wake up in the morning, you pray for 3 hours and all that. One, what do you even get to say? What are you talking about for 3 hours? You are praying to God. And then, is it only you that God will be attending to? You know, so one of the things that people wonder about when you pray a lot, or you are always praying, is that they wonder, what will you be praying? Are you with me, anybody? You know, the question arises, what will you be praying? So when you say to somebody that, oh, you can pray 1 hour, say, hey, then you pray, some people pray 3 hours. What are they saying? You get what I'm talking about? What would they be doing there? You will not be able to pray always and pray consistently and pray so much if you are not praying with all kinds of prayer. Okay, when you start getting into a lot of prayer, you'll find out that you will be praying different kinds of prayer at different times. As a matter of fact, I found out that I do a lot more praying outside of just a quiet time. I pray all through the day. So now there's a quiet time, but I pray all through the day. So praying always with all kinds of prayer. If you're going to be praying always, you'll discover that you will have to get into all kinds of prayer. The third thing you see in verse 18 that I like is that it says praying always with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Hallelujah. I found out that effective prayer has to be spirit-led. Effective prayer has to be spirit-led. I found out that if you are going to pray effectively, how many people here want to really learn to pray effectively? You want to be an effective person in prayer. You know, if you want to be an effective person in prayer, you'll also have to be somebody who is sensitive in the place of prayer and who is spirit-led. So it says praying always with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. There has to be the involvement of the Holy Ghost in guiding you in how to pray and what to pray. Hallelujah. I mean, Romans chapter 8 tells us clearly, it says that we have infirmities. It says, and our infirmity is that we do not know how to pray for what we should pray for as we should. Are you still there? So we know things we want to pray for, but it says even when you know what you want to pray for, you don't know how you should pray for them. Very often. So very often we're praying amiss because we just want to pray. And people are always sometimes very eager. Let's just go and pray. And there's nothing like the knowledge of how prayer works and the things that underline the different kinds of prayer. Neither is there a cooperation with the Holy Ghost as they pray. Hallelujah. But then when you go again, so we've looked at verse 18, but when you take it all in context from verse 10, we can see that it tells us that even within the sphere of life, that within the sphere of life, we are dealing in warfare. That's what it tells us. Okay? So when we look at it, as I read it from verse 10, it makes it clear to us that, hey, we are in warfare. So anybody who sits jelenkeli, that's not English, oh. But it means the one who is so relaxed, who takes his Christianity as fun. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Who is not bothered, who doesn't think that there has to be some energy, there has to be some discipline about his Christianity, is in trouble, because he does not realize what? That he's in the middle of warfare. So Ephesians chapter 6, if you take, now take it. So verse 18, we're talking about prayer. Are you following what I'm trying to say to you? But when we are looking in the context of how he brought out the prayer, it enlightens us to see that, hey, we're in warfare. Things don't just happen. Life isn't just happening. Sometimes I'm looking at a sea of people and I'm thinking to myself, I hope this guy knows what life is about. I hope he knows that while he's sitting there, you know the way some people function is that, devil, leave me alone, I'm not bothering you. You understand? That as long as me, I don't bother the devil. Leave set my one who talks about you. Me, I don't even bother. I don't talk about you. I don't pray against you. So leave me alone. I don't touch you. Don't touch me. And life is not like that. Are you with me? The things that we see that are happening don't just happen. Things are made to happen. There are forces that make things happen. And that's why from then verse 10, in context that we read, we now realize that we are in warfare. And in that warfare, it tells us that the devil uses tricks a lot. And he has what? He has what? Darts. I always like to think that if this was written in 2021, it will talk about the bazookas of the enemy. You know, when he says that, and take up the shield, taking up the shield of faith, verse 16, which is able to quench the arrows or the darts. You know that? How many people know that? You know that little thing that we throw. If those were things that looked very skinny at that time, you know, but weaponry has increased. So if he were to talk now, he would talk about the what? The bazookas. He would talk about the, what do they call it? Aircraft. Which one do they call it? The one that shoots at aircraft to bring out the aircraft. So that's the kind of language it will be using. But he says, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench every dart of the wicked one. So it's telling us different things that you need to wear as an armor. And then after it tells you, he was using again the outfit of a Roman soldier or the typical soldier of those days. So that's what he was talking about, the belt, the helmet. So he was using all of that, the breastplate that will cover the chest area, so that when you are using the sword and all that, it's not easy to penetrate, or you shoot an arrow, it's not easy to penetrate the chest area, the same way we wear bulletproofs today. But having put all of that together, he then mentions two essential things that you must have at all times. He talks about faith, the shield of faith. You must always carry the shield of faith. And then he talks about what? Praying always. Are you still there? With different kinds of prayer. So when you then realize that, because the different kinds of prayer means that different things work at different times. They all work in this warfare. They all have their place in this warfare. Can I have an amen? There's a place for the prayer of petition. There's a place for the prayer of worship. There's a place for congregational prayer. It means also that it's not enough. If I'm going to have peace in my life, it's not enough that I know how to pray the prayer or petition for myself when I have needs. There are times I need to come and gather with the church. There are times we need to gather together and they say, let us pray. We're praying before the service and you are praying because it has its place. Hallelujah. The scriptures is making us know that all kinds of prayer has a place in this warfare. There's a time it's just a prayer of worship. But as we are praying just to worship God, we're not asking for anything. It also has its place in this warfare.
the good thing is, prayer can be taught. Luke 11 and verse 1. Open your Bibles, Luke 11 and verse 1. We'll come back here. Luke 11 and verse 1. I'm doing, again, too much introduction than I want to. But are you getting something from this? Luke 11 and verse 1. The Bible says, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased or when he stopped, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, what? Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So it means that I can learn. If it can be taught, I can learn. Are you still there? Yeah, whatever you can teach means that the only reason why you want to teach it is because people can learn it. Amen. That's good news already to me. It's sweet in my belly. Don't mind my English, but since the dictionary is allowing Nigerians now to form English that they are putting inside dictionary, then they are giving us license to go and scatter everywhere. Hallelujah. But it's exciting to me that I can learn. It means that no matter where I am in my prayer life, so to speak, there is room for improvement. It means I can always get better. Amen. You know, it was, I think, Kennedy again that said he had prayed. There was no error. Okay, so that says that he says he had, in 40-something years, he didn't have a prayer that went unanswered. Are you there? No prayer unanswered in 40-something years. So I think to myself, okay, if somebody prays that effectively, John 16:23 talks about that. He said, up to now, you have asked me nothing. Right? He says, but I'm asking you to ask now that you may receive so that your joy may be full. So the intention of God in prayer is that we get results. Hallelujah. The intention of God is that we get results. I was actually thinking before earlier that this door is an error that I opened. That is the windows that should be open. They have nets. You know, so I think it came to tell me you made an error. So correct my error, if you don't mind. So you can open a window or two for the fresh air, but close the doors. Also because of mosquitoes. Amen. So what are we talking about? But we can learn, we can improve in the place of prayer. George Muller, who was a man of God that also set up orphanages in the UK. You know, I was listening to something about him recently. And George Muller used to journal, you know, which is that he used to write down all of his prayer points. Everything he prayed about. And so in a few years, he detailed and he said, the figures were something like this, that up to that time, he had received 30,000 plus answers to his 50,000 requests. And he said, he's not keeping the journal because he's expecting God to fail, but because he expects it to happen. So he wants to remember that it happened. Hallelujah. So when people are praying that way, and they are getting results that way, I'm thinking, okay, if my prayer life is not that good, it can get better. Hallelujah. Teach us to pray means I can learn to pray. Amen. I can learn how to be effective in prayer. I can learn to pray more even. Hallelujah. So when we were in university, we heard about people prayed. In fact, there was a time we were on strike. Our teachers were on strike. You know, and we had nothing to do. So we stayed in school for some time. And then one day we looked for somebody, you know, you'll go and look for your friends in their room and all that. And we couldn't find this guy. We look until late afternoon, we couldn't find him. And then eventually he showed up. And we said, where were you? He said he went to pray. The next day, all of us disappeared. And went to pray. Hallelujah. What was happening? We were learning to pray more. Amen. Teach us to pray means we can learn to pray. And God's intention is that we get results. John chapter 16 that I just spoke about, 23, 24, thereabout. God's intention is that we will pray, we'll get results, and that encourages us to pray more. But our getting results also depends upon our knowledge of prayer. Hallelujah. So let's try to run through and see what we can do with this. So one type of prayer, commonest perhaps, is a prayer of petition. I'm sure most people know the prayer of petition. That's when we come with our list. You know, petition is what I want. So when somebody comes and say, I petition somebody, it means I made a request of the person. I requested something of that person. And that prayer of petition is the commonest. It's the first one perhaps that most of us learn how to pray. Is to just go to God and ask Him for everything. We want to ask Him for this, we want to ask Him for that. Let me also say that one of the reasons why we must learn how to pray is the fact that as you get older, you know, your spiritual growth is compared to the growth of a child. So it talks about a baby in 1 Peter chapter 2 as newborn babes. Okay, it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about a child. A child is different from a baby. Okay, so the baby is... Then you go to a child, can run around, he can do a few things, but he still can't get everything done. And then you grow, you become an adult. And what happens with the parent is that what? At each stage, you start expecting more responsibility. Are you there? At each stage, you start expecting more responsibility. When the baby is a baby, you do everything. When is a child, you say, clean that place where you start, even if you won't clean it well. You say, clean it. Then you clean it after him. But you are teaching him that you should clean small. Isn't it? Then there are certain tasks that you say, no, you should be able to do that one yourself. You to carry it, carry your plate. Because why can't he carry a plate? Okay? Now, you didn't tell the baby carry your plate. You get what I'm talking about? And at a certain stage, even without saying it, you expect it to be done. Amen. So what also happens, and what many people have discovered, is that as a newborn baby in Christ, you probably got people praying for you, and all the prayers were working like this. Are you still there? So you need something, they pray for you. Once they pray like this, the next day you go, and say, praise the Lord. In fact, the prayer work like that. Then after a while, it looked like, it's not working like that. You know what it is? It's a challenge to say, grow up. Grow up. You need to start doing a few things by yourself. Hallelujah. Your faith has to be involved. Your knowledge has to be involved. So at a time, people could even easily just lay hands on you, pray for you, and you're healed just like that. At other times, it looks like it takes a bit more because now there is an expectation of faith. You need to, it's not that people can lay hands on you, but you also need to have your faith stirred for it to work for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And at that time, the hands that have been laid on you is nothing but a faith extender for you. Are you there? It's just a faith extender. It's not the person praying for you anymore. It's actually your faith that is getting it. And without your faith being involved, you may not get it. Why? It's the imperative of growth. Are you still with me? Okay, so now we talk about the prayer of petition. So 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So the prayer of petition is when I'm asking God, give me this, give me that, give me shoe, give me bag, give me money, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But that's one type of prayer. And how do I pray it? You know, how do I pray? There are several scriptures that refer to that. We'll see how quickly we can look at one or two of them, move to the next thing, look at one scripture or two, move to the next thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Are you getting something? Okay, so the prayer of petition, what happens? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, but if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have a petition that we have asked of him. I'll ask you to open to Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. I think they are correlates, and sometimes Of course, what we cannot do tonight is to look at every scripture and so many scriptures in detail, but get a principle also right now, which is that on virtually every subject, you will need to look at a number of scriptures to get a rounded, balanced view of that subject. Are you there? You will need to look at a number of scriptures to get a balanced view of that subject. If all you know is one scripture about something, because it's amazing, amazing how believers know one Bible verse about something and they hold on to one Bible verse and it works for them many times for a while, and then when it doesn't work, they're in shock. So even if you take the subject of prayer, people look at the prayer of petition and then sometimes they wonder why they pray a prayer and it doesn't seem to get answered. They don't seem to get the results. It's because there are also reasons why prayers may not be answered. Are you there? There are reasons why prayers may not be answered. Maybe we'll do something on that one. Next, we'll look at reasons why prayers may not be answered. Okay? But if you only read 1 John chapter 5, even if you read 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 without religious glasses, without glasses of bias, with an open mind, you will already see certain conditions there. Are you with me? So you already see that the prayer of petition is not a... what do we call it? I don't know how to interpret that in English. But it's not that the moment I just pray the prayer of petition, that settles it. It already puts in certain things in there that if those conditions are not met, then I will not get an answer to my prayer. That's why we're talking about the different kinds of prayer. Amen. So we've read that. Mark 11, 24 says something similar. I'm just trying to put them head to head and then just talk about them. Okay, Mark 11, 24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So people just like that very much, isn't it? That whatsoever I desire, whatsoever I desire, and there are people who have desired all kinds of things. They've desired somebody else's car, even desire somebody else's spouse, and prayed about it. Can you imagine that? It's bad enough that they desire someone else's spouse, but then to even go to God and believe God, and say, by faith, I claim. Is that witchcraft or what? Are you with me? So they say, yeah, but the Bible says, whatever I desire. I don't know if you think I'm making it up, but somebody has actually desired Kenneth Copeland. Prayed, believed God that Kenneth Copeland would be her husband after he had married Gloria. Not before. Not even before. They had been married for years, and then he said, I believe God that you are my husband. Whatsoever I desire when I pray. So he said, whatsoever you desire. Now that's why I put it back to back with 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. That says this is the confidence we have. If we ask anything, what did he say after that? According to what? His will. If we ask anything according to his will, it means that in the prayer of petition, it is important, imperative, compulsory, that what I ask must be according to his will. And you know that in the Ten Commandments, it says you shall not do what? Covet your neighbor's property. Be it wife or husband, you shall not covet your neighbor's. Are you there? So definitely, what am I talking about? I'm saying that it's not according to God's will. So that kind of prayer is foul. All right, just as an example, it's a wild example. It's true. It happened. I had Kenneth Copeland talk about it himself. Are you with me? So that is real. But just to give you an example, that if you are praying the prayer of petition, even though it says whatsoever you desire, that desire is according to his will. Can I have an amen? It means that if I'm not praying according to his will, I will not stand the chance of getting an answer to that prayer. Okay, if I don't pray according to his will, or if I pray contrary to his known will, his written will especially, Are you still there? And it means, that's why he says to us in John chapter 15, verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done. So what is that? What happens? Is that when his word abides in me, his will is first and foremost found in his word. Are you there? And when his word dwells in me, then my will becomes what? Conformed with his will. I know what his will is. I will not be asking something contrary to his will. But not only that, that thing it speaks about in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, that it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, becomes practicalized. The more you walk with God, because if his word abides in you, if the word of God dwells in you richly, you are not an average Christian. You are not an average believer. And what happens to you is that you find that your will begins to become matched with God's will automatically. So even the desires you start having after a while are God-inspired desires according to his will. Are you with me? So even sometimes when you cannot find thou shalt in the Bible or thou shalt not, there is nothing expressly written about what you are praying about, that will, it's God that stirs up certain thoughts within you, certain desires within you, and they are not contrary to any written word, but you may not be able to find a scripture or a verse, but it's God that stirs it within you to say, believe for this. And then you can pray a prayer of petition. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. How many people got that? Is that clear and helpful? Good. So what you desire is God's will. Okay? Number two thing, critical about the prayer petition, is that you believe you receive when you pray. Believe you receive when? When you pray. Not later. Believe you receive when you pray. It means that when you are going, it means that a good way to pray the prayer of petition is first to have found God's will, because that's where faith begins from. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So find where it is written and then go to God in prayer after, based on what you know to be God's word or God's promise. And then you pray based upon that. And when you do, and you say in Jesus' name, amen, believe that what? You receive. Not believe that you will receive. That's not what is in Mark 11, 24. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive. Believe you receive means believe you receive it now. Are you still there? That's why I see 1 John chapter 5, 14, 15 as an expansion of Mark 11, 24. It expounds on it. So he says what? The confidence we have in prayer is that when we ask anything according to his will, so it takes care of the desire part in Mark 11, 24. Okay? He says, believe you receive. Then he says what? What if we know that we ask anything according to his will, then we should know that we have received it now. Hallelujah. We receive whatever we ask for according to his will. That's what 1 John 5, 14 talks about, isn't it? He says, this is the confidence we have in him, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we may ask, then we should know that we have received it. The Amplifier said, as our present possession. So you believe it right there and then. Hallelujah. It means that by the time you are saying amen, as far as you are concerned, it's a done deal. Hallelujah. Before I go to the next, I think I'll quote for Smith Wigglesworth, who said, if you ask God for the same thing seven times, six times were in unbelief. Did you get that? If you ask God for the same thing seven times, so if you go for with a prayer or petition seven times on the same thing, he said, if you go to God seven times on the same thing, meaning that you got it, after you went to pray the same prayer, Lord, give me this in Jesus' name, and you went seven times, he said six times were in unbelief. What's he saying? He's saying because you should have believed you received it. If you believe you receive it, what does the Bible say? Mark 11, 24, you shall have it. So it was the seventh time that you believed you received it. Are you there? Somebody say, but what if it comes to my mind? Then you just thank God for it. Abi? If you believe, you ask me for something and I said, no problem, I'll be done. What do you do? Every time you see me, do you ask me again? If you mention it, say, thank you for that, you know. Thank you very much, you know. I think Pastor Ewa is drunk. He's drunk. Well, for the viewers, he's drunk in the spirit tonight. I think he's but that's okay. It's permitted in this church. Amen. But I think he's drunk in the spirit in that corner tonight. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I was actually thinking to myself recently that I think I get drunk very often while I'm preaching. Sometimes when I just look, I can't even remember the scripture. I can't quote it anymore. It is because afterwards I can tell you the scripture. But I just realized I'm in a bubble somewhere. Hallelujah. So number two, prayer of worship. Prayer of worship. Go to Acts chapter 13. Let's look at Acts 13 as a text. Acts 13. Prayer of worship. You know, there are certain things. We learn things. How do we learn things? We learn them through knowledge or study, and we learn through experience. Okay? There are certain things we gain knowledge about through experience. So there are certain things that I've learned through the experience of others, meaning that they share their experience. And there are certain things that I've learned through my experience of working with God, and then I can back up with scripture. You know, but sometimes you just pick it up by experience. One of the things I found is that you pray a lot of this prayer of worship as you mature. There are certain types of prayer that begin to dominate your prayer life. One of them is the prayer of worship. Another one is intercessory prayer. They begin to dominate your prayer life as you mature in Christ. You find out that you spend less time petitioning God about your needs. Are you there? It says in Acts 13 and verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord, or let's start it from verse 1. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, and so that's a Nigerian there, isn't it? Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Okay, so the key thing there, or the key phrase there that I want you to note, is that he says, as they ministered to the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord. There's something about our worship that is actual, just ministry to the Lord. Amen. And very often, we need to just pray the prayer of worship. Somebody say, what is that? It just means you worship God. You might just be saying the words and giving him glory and exalting him. You might actually be singing. Because what is prayer, after all? Prayer is communication with God. Amen? Prayer is communication with God. Go to Psalm. Let's go to Psalm. That's not one of my intended texts. But again, now I give up and I know I will not finish today. Okay, so in order not to keep us till 9 p.m., I'll just give up right now. Amen. And surrender that we will not finish this today. Psalm 100. So I will not rush. I'll look for a convenient place to stop. Psalm 100. Are you there? Look at verse 4. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I particularly found it very useful to start off my prayer with just worship. I sing, I pray, just a prayer of worship, meaning I'm not asking God for anything, I'm just exalting him. You are awesome, you are great, you are the Most High, you are fantastic, you are fantabulous. I just love you, Jesus. I'm in love with you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for who that you are. And I found out that when I start that way, there's something about his presence. There's something about his presence that fills the room. And this scripture, that's why I said to open to this. This scripture seems to explain why that happens. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So there's something about the worshiper. There's something about the prayer of worship that opens you up, that opens the door. So by the time you are praying other things, he's present. Because again, if you are talking to somebody, it's just like what these days, you know, and given what's happened in the last 1 year plus, that you don't see people, you speak to people. In the last 1 year plus also, I've come to value. You know, one, I've come to value even more the importance of seeing people. Amen? It's just fantastic. I've always liked it. I've always believed more in seeing people than in actually calling. There are many times people talk to me about many things. They tell me this is going on, that is going on. Except it's totally impossible. I tell them, you know what, I'm going to come and see you. There's a saying in Yoruba, they will say, Oju loro wa. That is, the talk is in the eyes. Abi? That's literal translation, meaning it's better to see face to face. And very often, I tell people, I want to see you. But in the last 1 year plus, with all what is going on, I've also come to value the video calls. So I make a lot of video calls than I used to do. So sometimes I tell people, I'm making a video call because I'm visiting your house. You know, this is me visiting you, because that's all I can do now. So I'm seeing you, I'm in your house now, we're looking at each other and we're talking. You know, and I found that when you enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, it's like his presence comes right in front of you. As a manner of speaking. And then by the time you are talking serious, crucial matters that you wanted to talk to God about, God is more real to you. I don't know if you understand the illustration I'm trying to give you. It is more real to you because the conversations are deeper when the person is really there. Are you still with me? It's almost like when people do, now people say, virtual meeting will replace physical meeting. I say, lie, can't replace it. It's not the same thing. I remember somebody who said to me, I said, did you go to church last Sunday? He said, yes, I went to church online. I said, you didn't go to church, you watched church. He said, no, I participated. I said, lie. You watched church. You did not participate. You watched church. It's not the same thing. How many people know it's not the same thing? It cannot be the same thing. It's not just about church. And people think, oh, it's because you want church food. Yeah, we haven't seen some people since church resumed. And some have not been coming as they used to. We'll love to get them back and see even more people. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is true. That is correct. Yes. But it's not that. It's just not the same thing. Even secular meeting is not the same thing. I mean, just before the lockdown thing happened, I was supposed to travel to South Africa. I was supposed to have a meeting there. It was going to be a crucial meeting on some very serious matters for that institution. You know, like a strategy kind of meeting. And then, when the whole thing began to look shaky, in fact, they called me, they asked me that, look, you, this is your field of work. What do you think? You know, and I said, well, the way things are going. In fact, at first they were worried about Nigeria then, because Nigeria had the first case before them. You know, and they said, the way things are in Nigeria. I said, look, my friend, between now and that time, who knows whether you'll be in a worse situation than we are in. And exactly that is what happened. Okay? But I looked at and then when, you know, it looked like clearly you can't really be traveling. Then they said, you know, we're going to switch that meeting to a virtual meeting. So I told them, they asked me, what do I think? I said, honestly, I don't think you will get the results that you want. Because like I said, it was a critical meeting, it was a strategy kind of meeting. I said, I don't think you will get the same result that you wanted. You know, and I told them, I said, in fact, now on that date, because I'm not traveling to be with you, other things have come up now. So I will not even be participating in the virtual meeting. You know, but somebody else would participate. And then they did it and, you know, other people participated. They held the meeting anyhow. And then after they held the meeting, I saw an email, you know, maybe a week or two after that, and they sent the documents again asking for people to comment. So I knew that the meeting they had didn't get the impact they wanted. They didn't get the results. So they are still now asking people to look at the documents, you know, brainstorm and write comments. So I laughed when I saw the email. And then I spoke to the person who attended. And the person said, look, in all honesty, I put on my computer, but I'll do something else. You know, that's the way it works. Are you there? But the prayer of worship brings God. It makes God real. It takes you in. That's what the psalmist, that's the description the psalmist was using. You know, when you are praying and you are worshiping God, you are not entering anywhere. Are you getting me? Physically, you are not entering anywhere. God is not. In fact, for them, it's even worse. But even for them, the psalmist himself wrote, he said, if I go anywhere, you are there. Even if I go to the bottom of the sea, he said, you are there. If I'm in hell, he said, you are there. Even the psalmist wrote that in not to talk of us, that the Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God is inside of you. So it's not anything about us actually going, like when I'm praying, I'm actually entering one court and then they give me another key, then I open. No, that's not what it is. But it's an illustrative way of speaking and saying that it's like I just get in God's presence and I stand in his presence. Amen. So when I was in medical school, I did organize this thing we called ROCK. It was called ROCK Concerts. ROCK was an acronym that stood for Revelation of Christian Knowledge. And, 100 level, I'd spoken to God. I was praying one morning and I told God, I said, God, I want to impact this place. I want to impact this place for you. Not for my glory. I don't want any glory, but I want to impact this place. It's always been my prayer everywhere that I go, everywhere I walk, I tell God, I want to make an impact for you. So I was praying and I said, God, in this university, I want to make an impact for you before I leave. God didn't have any conversation with me about that. Of course, I did anything I knew to do. Served him as best as I knew to serve him. But he didn't refer to that conversation until my final year in medical school. And one morning again, as I was praying, God said, you remember what you said in 100 level? I said, yes. He said, now is the time to do it. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? And then he spoke to me about organizing this concert. Up to that time, the only concerts we saw on that level or that scale were concerts by alcoholic companies. You know, all these alcoholic, then they would bring us one Fuji musician or one of those kind, and they will do a concert on the campus. They will have stage lights, they will have smoke, they will have great instruments that everybody on campus will be hearing the jim, 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 you know. And God said, it's time to do it. And I said, okay, what? And then he told me, I wanted to put up this concert. So I, you know, shared the vision with a few people. Before we knew it, we had volunteers running over 100 people. We had volunteers, mostly or virtually all the people were medical students and formed into groups, you know, and everybody, you know, some into choir, dance group, drama group, and then we all would come together and we're rehearsing every week and praying every week. So I remember somebody saying, you know, once, because when we'll ask somebody in particular to pray, he would worship God a lot. And somebody complained to me and said, when we come to pray now, that worship is too much. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray, you know, and you should only worship God. So I said, no, it's ignorance. Because there's a prayer of worship. Amen. And it's a great way to start. They asked me, Swigglesworth, how do you start your day? He said, I jump out of bed and I dance before God for the first 10 minutes. Worship. Are you with me? The beautiful thing is that when you do, God also moves. He speaks and he does things in that atmosphere as well. Hallelujah. You know, so as they ministered to the Lord, Acts 13 and verse 2, and fasted, what happened? The Holy Ghost said. He spoke. People think that, when I'm doing that, I'm wasting time. That's what the person was complaining to me about. It's like we are wasting all the time we need to spend praying. Sometimes if we pray the prayer of worship enough, we will have fewer things to pray about. In quote. You understand? We'll have fewer things to pray about. Because, you see, it's like in any relationship. If you spend time with me because you want to spend time with me, you understand what I'm talking about? As a manner of speaking, somebody is just your friend. It's also very easy that the person, because he just loves you, she just loves you and spends time with a good friend and all of that, he's not there to demand things from you. It's likely that sometimes you just also look at it and say, this should be good for my friend though. How many people know what I'm talking about? Your friend has not asked for shoes. But your heart just loves your friend. Are you with me? You just want to be a blessing to the friend. Because the friend is just nice. You just love the friend. That he doesn't need to ask. In fact, the fact that he doesn't even ask you sometimes makes you feel like, what will I even give this person? How many people ever felt like that before? How can I even bless this person? This person never asked me for anything, and she's just so nice to me. Hey, God is a personal. Are you with me? God is a real person. And if we fellowship with him, he moves, he speaks, and he does things. As he ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So he spoke in that atmosphere. He spoke. Are you with me? Acts chapter 16, the Bible says verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and did what? Sang praises, and the prisoners heard them. And what happened? The prison shook. And the chains fell off. The Bible didn't tell us they asked for the chains to fall off. Are you there? But as they did, something happened. I think it was Andrew Womack that was speaking and said, you know, one day he was home, he got a phone call. His son had just been in an accident and had died. So he turned to his wife and he said, the first word is not the last word. That's the first word, but it's not the last word. And he said, we need to go. They jumped in the car. They had to drive a few hours to get to the place. To get to the hospital, he said, and they did. They prayed, handed it over to God, and he said, from then on, he just kept worshiping God. He just kept worshiping God. He just kept worshiping God. He just kept worshiping God till they got to the place for hours. He said, as he drove, he was driving, he was just worshiping God and praising God and worshiping God and praising God. He got there. The end result is that the child woke up. Are you with me? Some people will think, dead. Shakata, God. Sometimes what you need is the worship. Are you with me? 2 Chronicles 20. And I'll be trying to close. Okay, so 2 Chronicles 20. Enemies came against Jehoshaphat and Judah. Jehoshaphat was the king. And they were faced with mighty armies. At least 3 countries, so to speak, came against them. And Jehoshaphat prayed, the Bible says, and he gathered the people to pray. So we'll also talk about what that, we'll read it again later, as an example of what congregational prayer. It's good to come together to pray. Hallelujah. So though he prayed by himself, but he said, everybody gather. He called everybody. The Bible says, children, women, men, everybody gathered to pray. So when people will sit there and say, are you going to church? Not, I don't usually go now. They'll just be praying. Just. Just pray. You'll just be praying. I won't miss much. It's just prayer. I will miss. You have missed plenty. Are you there? That prayer is plenty. It does something. There's something about corporate anointing. Hallelujah. There's something that happens when we gather together and we pray. The Bible says that one will chase 1,000, two will chase not 2,000, but 10,000. Hallelujah. Now, okay, so where I'm going is this. As they did that and they prayed, God spoke up and he said, you will not need to fight in this battle. He said, this battle is not your battle. The battle is the Lord's battle. But this is what I'm looking for. So it says that it says it's the Lord's battle in verse 15, and then verse 17 says, you will not need to fight. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. That's all he told them, isn't it? Just go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now they stood up in verse 19, the Bible says, to praise the Lord. They rose early in the morning. Good. Verse 21. It says, and when he, so the next day, when he had consulted with the people, what did he do? He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You know, for many years, I always thought that, you know, When I teach, I always say that God told them to put the choir in front of the army. But I discovered that God didn't tell them that. God told them, I will fight for you. You will not need to fight in the battle. They sat down, consulted among themselves, and said, you know what? We go with praise. Are you getting what I'm saying? They knew something about the power of worship. It was their decision to say, choir, move to the front. And the choir didn't say, Oga. Now what front will they go? Now the soldiers are supposed to stay for front. We go to play very well at the back there, sir. Are you with me? So they knew something about the power of worship. Are you still there? So what did they know? They knew what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 4. John 4. And you can open them if that's where we close it. They knew what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 4, verse 24. Verse 23. Let's start from verse 23. It says, but the hour is coming. And now is. When the true worshippers, so it is now, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What I want to emphasize is seeking such. Seeking such. I put it this way, God has a need. God has a need. And his need is for worship. You know, if you read the book of Revelations, the Bible says that they had the 24 elders, they fell, they cast down their golden crowns, they had all kinds of angels around the throne, and it says that 24/7 they kept saying what? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Just worship, worship, worship. So God has a need for worship. There's something about worship that just moves him, that triggers him, you know, that makes him happy and just moves. He moves. So somebody described once, and he said probably what happened in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas were in jail was that when they prayed and they began to sing praises, God sat there, he was enjoying the worship, and before they knew what was going on, God was shaking his head and enjoying the worship and humming along, enjoying the worship. Then they sang, then God began to tap. And he began to tap as the worship was getting to him. He began to tap. But as he tapped, the prison was shaking. And as he was shaking, the chains were falling off. Hallelujah. And it was just an act of worship that moved God, that broke the chains. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. So we've been talking about different kinds of prayer. And we've spoken about the prayer of petition. We've spoken also about the prayer of worship. Hallelujah. A prayer of petition and the prayer of worship. Give him worship tonight. Exalt him. Give him praise. Satire legato sata Marianda Sakaya Balabo Soto Lebaraba Shandala Bayakala Bayakala Balaboro Bolo 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 Rede 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 Rede
from the hedges back.
I see shifts. Things that have been difficult. Things that have been difficult. I see them shifting. I see promotions that have been difficult. I see next phases that have been difficult. All happening with ease. All happening with ease. I see doors opening with ease. Rakadosa Pradishta Bahata Lagega Lagaga Labayaga Tabalaga Jekeleba Yaga Yaga Lebo Robosa Kataya Regege Labashaka Labahata Bayabala Bayabala Bayakatala Baya Yegela Baba Labayabala Kataya Alababa Yaka Lava Tata Lava Yakatala Baya Kelebaya Kala Baya Balakata. Disappearing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, Lord. We magnify you tonight. We give you praise and glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Such a pleasure, such a privilege to know you, to walk with you, to fellowship with you like we do. Hallelujah.